Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome inside the Celtics Life Podcast. I'm Louis Gonzalez here with Dustin Quinn. And for right now, we're going to focus on free agent moves that have already happened. Seems like most of the big names are already gone. So we're going to touch on that and what those signings have to do with the Celtics and how they affect them, from draft picks to just the general landscape of the conferences. And we'll also talk a little bit about that little Gordon Hayward decision that was made yesterday.
Kind of tiny. No big
just
deal.
It wasn't a big deal, I don't think. Just another rotational player.
Accurately and quickly.
Yeah. I was glad that it was all over by, what was it, 2, we'll call it 2:30? 2:30 p.m. Yeah, that whole thing was a mess. So just in case somebody didn't have cell phone service all day long yesterday and whatever. ESPN's, he works for ESPN, right? Chris Haynes.
That is correct. Chris Haynes
sent out a tweet at about.
Yeah, I love you, Chris Haynes. Sorry.
Yeah, he sent out a tweet at about 2:30. Might be off by a few minutes, but basically saying that it was a done deal. Gordon Hayward to Boston, according to the always, always mysterious sources. I want to know who these I love and I hate the sources. Like, who are these sources? But anyway, so he let out this tweet. Everybody's going crazy, posting memes, blah blah blah. And then we want to say about an hour later.
Not even, like 40 minutes at most.
A report comes out from Gordon Hayward's agent saying that it wasn't true. It's bogus. He hasn't come to
notified. No firm decision had been made officially.
Yeah. And then, long story short, just to wrap this up, at about 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, the Players Tribune posts a tweet with a story by Gordon Hayward titled, was it Goodbye, Utah? Thank you, Utah?
Thank you, Utah, I believe is what
Thank
it was.
Thank you, there. Utah. And then we finally get, I've decided to take my talents to Back Bay.
Indeed.
And that was it.
So you actually have worked with the Players Tribune, so maybe you might have a window on how something like this might have happened. Not that it did, but how it might have happened.
So yeah, so from February 2017 till June 1st, I was an editorial intern at the Players Tribune, which was an incredible opportunity. And my assumption is that what happened is that maybe Gordon Hayward kind of knew all along, or felt all along, that he would be signing with Boston. He kind of knew or sort of foreshadowed what Utah would be doing with free agency and George Hill. Maybe knew that they were targeting Ricky Rubio to sort of appease him, try to convince him to stay. But at the end of the day, he figured that Boston was it for him. Then Players Tribune probably got in contact with him, tried to say, hey, like, do you want to make your announcement with us? And he's like, yeah, cool. Obviously, this the success of this piece is contingent on the news staying very, very, very quiet, which obviously didn't happen.
Yep.
The news broke before the story was published. That doesn't work. So my assumption is that the story came out. The tweet came out. Somebody in his camp wasn't told that he would be making his decision or his announcement through the Players Tribune.
Or something
like that. But that's just my assumption. Somebody in his camp said something to a reporter and that leaked out. And Gordon Hayward's agent then had to sort of say, wait, no. It's not true. He hasn't come to any sort of decision as Gordon Hayward was working on this announcement. So I think this was purely just a, we need to keep this as
mysterious as possible.
As mysterious and newsy as possible in order, because otherwise it's like he already made his, everybody already knows that he's going to Boston. Who cares about this piece? And that sucks for Gordon Hayward and his camp.
Yeah, quite a few people were ready to tear each other's throats out over journalistic integrity, and I don't care who's right or who's wrong. Just let's all do our due diligence in the future and be a little bit more cautious.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you set a lot of people off.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, what if, I mean, this was an extreme example, but what happened with DeAndre Jordan last summer, the summer before? It was last summer, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's an extreme example, but the whole, like, okay, he's signing in Dallas, and then a few hours later, no, he's actually re-signing with LA.
It's really, like, on one hand, sure, it provided a lot of entertainment, but there were a lot of people who were also really genuinely upset, both with DeAndre and in this situation. And personally, while I do appreciate the entertainment value, I did not appreciate hitting refresh on my computer and cell phone everywhere I went all day yesterday. So,
yeah, I have a cap data plan. I've definitely gone over my data about a week ago. So, please, for my sake, journalists,
let's tighten it up, all of us.
Tighten it up so I don't go over my data.
Lewis, if nothing else.
Yeah, at least. Look out for the little guys out there. But yeah, so Hayward signed for the full max.
For those of you who are not clear on what that means exactly in terms of dollars and cents, that's going to be $29,700,000. Next year, this upcoming season, $31,200,000 the following, $32,700,000 the year after that, and a $34,180,000 player option in the final year, which is almost a foregone conclusion. He's going to opt out, so he'll be eligible for the 10-year max at that point. I'm pretty sure he's going to take it.
This basically looks like the deal that Al Horford signed.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think the numbers are all more or less the same too. This ascending number with the player option in the fourth year.
Basically, the difference from year to year is the annual increase in salary. I don't recall exactly. I think it used to be 4.5%. It might be more now. I'll have to get back to you guys on that. It's not really important apart from who might have to go to fit him. We'll get to that in just a second.
Yeah. That, you see, that's going to be the tough part. Everybody wanted the big name free agent here, but because of our salary cap constraints and because of these very short playoffs and NBA finals, we got hit probably worse than any other team in the league. So we have to get rid of somebody. Yeah, we have to get rid of somebody, or not. We have to get rid of a few players.
It's my understanding is it's close to $4 million that we're going to need to make available, which basically means that theoretically it could be done if we were to, say, get rid of Zizic and Terry Rozier. Maybe. It would be possible, but even then that might not be enough. I'd have to really drill down into the numbers to be sure. So the more likely candidates people have been talking about, we mentioned this last night, is Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, or Marcus Smart. The benefit of someone like Avery Bradley or Jay Crowder, with Avery Bradley has $8.8 million next season. On one hand, it would obviously eliminate the renegotiation or re-signing situation that is going to be coming when his deal is up. And with the amount of money that we would be freeing up at that point, you might also be able to trade him into a situation where you can get a rookie deal or a vet guy on a low salary back in exchange and still have enough money. So there's that. Jay Crowder could also possibly do something like that too. He probably has a slightly higher value based on the number of years on his contract. He's looking at $6.8 million next season with several seasons beyond that. But if we kept him, then we would be in a situation where we would have to play him largely at the four, which is not his favorite position, but he could conceivably do it. Maybe with some time spent at the five in some small ball lineups just to give him the minutes he needs. But then there's the chemistry issue. We mentioned this last night as well. It's just going to be awkward, to say the least, based on the fun experience we had when Gordon Hayward got cheered by Celtics fans this last regular season. Marcus Smart. Yeah. The last guy in the mix, he probably will get the lowest value back in return in terms of salary. We wouldn't really be able to take anything back. We might be able to get a pick out of it as well, but it wouldn't be a very great one. It would probably be at best like a low lottery.
You see, this is a tough situation for Boston because they have no leverage. And I saw a tweet yesterday that sort of was going along with this thinking that teams know that they just need to get rid of salary. So in another situation where you may be able to get a player and a pick back,
we might have to add a pick to the situation just to make it happen.
Exactly. And we have to do it. We have no choice.
Nope.
We have no negotiating power right now, which puts them in a bind.
I think we'll sort it out. I do think there's plenty of people out there who would rather take the risk of getting one of the guys that we have that they want versus someone else ending up buckling and taking a deal from us. So we have a tiny bit of leverage, but it's really minuscule. It's about as little as you can get.
And it's crazy because none of these guys are like throwaway contracts.
No, these are all starters on most teams and at least rotation players.
Yeah, Avery Bradley, my God, Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, all quality, especially somebody like Marcus Smart, who's still super young, has all the potential in the world. It's tough, and it sucks. I hope that Danny Ainge figures something out. I'm sure it's impossible, but maybe Terry Rozier and somebody else, which also hurts because he's so young. And
it would have to be Zizic.
Yeah, but then we have no big men.
Exactly.
Are you willing to sacrifice that to keep everybody together, keep that defensive sort of mindset or makeup intact? And then just plunge into the luxury tax and re-sign all of these guys next season? Or Avery Bradley?
I mean, we could do it for a season. I'm not going to go out and say that there isn't some cap wizardry under wraps that we don't know about. But based on my analysis of the situation and much better minds on the issue, I think that's probably the longest of long shots. If you had to pick, who would you be looking at as your most likely choice, if not the one you want to go?
I have emotional ties to all of these guys, but the whole chemistry issue that you guys touched on last night and you just mentioned right now, Jay Crowder, I feel like he will either have to be playing a position that he's not comfortable playing or just doesn't play very well in, or he's going to have to come off the bench. I don't think either of those are going to fly with him. So just for the sake of just
quite a bind.
Just for the sake of avoiding locker room drama, I have to say Jay Crowder, but he has such an incredible contract.
That is the thing that has made it difficult for me too. However, with the Paul George situation being what it is, perhaps it's not quite as important long term in terms of paying people. I don't know. I'm already into the weeds.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's too much. It's too much. I don't want to think about it, but I'm gonna get sad.
Well, we can hold off because people who can actually make these decisions are going to be making them very soon. Yep. Yeah, till the 6th?
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, so we will be looking at some moves very, very soon, and we can reflect on those once those happen.
Do they literally have to happen today? Like before?
Or tomorrow. I think they have till 5 o'clock on the 6th.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So some people have already been axed. Amir left to the 76ers. There was some talk of a sign and trade. We talked about this a little bit last night. 1 year, $11 million. Could be a little high, but as I mentioned, he's got the Colangelo ties to Toronto.
Yep.
That might have been going on with that. We also waived Tyler Zeller a few days ago and released Kelly Olynyk so we can make the room.
Yep.
And we did do a signing for Daniel Theis. I'm going to just say that because that's what I'm hearing from people. I'm not entirely certain if that's how you pronounce his name. Almost certainly going to be a minimum contract. We thought maybe he might be an exception candidate, but it's looking like 2 years, a little under $1 million, about $850,000 piece, if my calculations are right. And we are probably almost certainly looking at Jonas Jerebko, Demetrius Jackson, Jordan Mickey, and James Young being gone. James Young, I believe, is already gone since he's playing for the Pelicans in summer.
Pelicans.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the other guys I just mentioned, they could conceivably be packaged in a deal, but it's pretty unlikely because why would you waste assets chasing somebody you can claim off of a waiver wire?
Good point.
Just no point. Or their deals are up in some cases, like JJ, so
yeah.
Jerebko, Swedish Larry Bird.
Yeah. I mean, you never want to say goodbye to any of these people, well, I guess, save for James Young. I'm sure people are really, really happy to say bye to
him. I am actually not happy he's gone. To be honest, he's just starting to look like the guy that we drafted, just a little bit.
Alrighty. Well, maybe he can look like the guy we drafted out.
Some other team.
With some other team. Yeah. But yeah, it's just the nature of the business, and we just gotta keep it moving, I guess.
Now, we could still sign people for the mid-level exception, which for Boston, in the situation we're in, is going to be a maximum of about $3 million. And we also have the biannual available to us should something worthwhile come down the pike. Conceivably, remotely, possibly, Jerebko could fit into one of those, but he will probably almost certainly get a much better offer. So unless he really likes keeping that house, that sweet, sweet house with the basketball court in the basement,
I mean, he's gone. At bare minimum, he's a proven defender or has defensive capabilities and can knock down some threes.
He's going to get snatched up from somebody.
Yeah, I think somebody's going to be willing to pay him $7 to $10 million a year.
Wouldn't surprise me if he ends up back on Detroit.
Yeah, they don't have cap space though.
They don't, but we'll see.
Yeah, but that's a nice pickup regardless. But there were some other moves made in free agency.
Couple few.
Because free agency is not just about Boston. So one of the moves that probably prompted Gordon Hayward to leave. And that's the last time I'm going to mention him in this podcast. I'm lying, but it's probably going to happen. George Hill going to Sacramento. I think it was a 1 year deal.
No, I believe it's 3 years, $19 million.
Really?
Per year. Roughly $19 million. Yeah, it's $57 million total for George Hill.
Oh, Jesus.
To the Kings. What are they doing?
Yeah. They're getting better. They're getting better. They're tired of being the laughing stock of the league.
I am not pleased. Z-Bo, Zach Randolph is over there now too for a 2 year, $12 million a year.
That's a nice sign, especially for the Kings. Z-Bo has always had this sort of like gritty, nasty, like everybody's kind of scared of him kind of look, sort of like the
straight from the jail.
David West. Yeah, like David West type. So him in Sacramento, I think it works.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a playoff team next year. We have a potential 2019 pick from trading backwards in the draft this year. If Hill and Zeebo are still on the team in 2019, we're not getting that pick.
Probably not.
So that definitely impacts Boston, not in a way that I'm too happy about, but can't control that. So,
I mean, we can't. Well, couldn't expect them to just keep being really, really, really bad.
Why not? They've been doing it for a decade.
That's a good point. Never mind.
I guess.
But they're good signings. I like, you know, sometimes it's fun, but it like really sucks to watch teams just be really bad.
Yeah, and they've been a tire fire long enough. I guess they deserve to get better.
Yeah, I mean, eventually, Jesus. I mean, it sucks that their success kind of dampens our draft pick slot, but it is what it is. We have plenty of draft picks.
Speaking of...
Oh, wait, we don't have this in our notes, but I do have a breaking signing right now.
Uh-oh.
Nick Young to Golden State.
You've got to be kidding me.
The rich get richer, I guess.
With Omri Caspi. Like, they're going to get all the wings, they're going to get all the shooters, so we can defend everything they can shoot. Sounds good.
And I don't, like, how are they fitting all of this money in? It's a one-year, $5.2 million deal.
Wow. That's gotta be an exception of something.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They did have an exception. I think they had a, yeah, they did have an exception, but it's like.
It's still gonna cost them a lot of money.
Absolutely. For Nick Young?
That's super weird. Anyways.
Yeah, so there's your breaking news. Is that our first?
They just signed Curry for a record breaking $201 million 5-year deal. Durant took significantly less. About $26.5 million per year. They somehow talked Livingston into a 3-year, $24 million a year for about $8 million a year. And Iguodala got 3 years, $48 million total. And Omri Caspi, who we should have signed for this stupid rate of vet minimum for 1 year, we could have totally done that, and we could have used his size.
Yep, absolutely. You're really high on this guy.
Omri Caspi?
I remember during the regular season, we need Omri Caspi.
Guy can shoot above 40% most of his career and has been a competent defender, if not necessarily a plus defender, just about that whole stretch too. Those guys are not easy to find.
No. But no, he went to Golden State because, you know, they need the help.
Oh, of course.
They'll be lucky to make the playoffs next year, right?
I'm just going to go around the corner now. Speaking of pleasant news and draft picks, Otto Porter may head to Brooklyn. They have tendered him the full max. Washington can and has said they will, but have not yet, at least at the time of us recording this. I am not entirely sure they're going to match him because they are one of the more cash crunch teams in the East, if not the league, Washington, yep. That is. And let's be honest, they aren't going to compete against us this year, particularly considering that their bigs are all aging and aren't going to be better, if anything.
Yeah. No, yeah. I heard that this morning. I don't think they're going to match it. I don't see any way they do. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And with Otto Porter, they're going to be borderline to playoff team, which is, again, not so great.
Yeah, it's not worth it in the long term. But he was good. He was good.
Speaking of the Warriors, JaVale McGee has been talking to the Clippers. It says he wants to return. I will be very impressed if they let him walk. But at this point, with the way that they're spending, I am actually starting to wonder if he might be a future Clipper.
When I saw this, I figured that this was the same sort of tactic that Andre Iguodala was employing. I'm going to go talk to other teams to sort of let you know that I'm kind of willing and serious about potentially moving to another team. I know that you guys really like me. You know that I'm a value guy. But let's see what other teams have to say. You're gonna ramp up your price, and I'm going to get the money that I kind of want at a discount.
I feel
but
like
I'll stay. You know,
there's a lot of bigs out there that they can find for a ring chase. I think yeah. that they'll probably give him a little bit more than he would have gotten had he not done this, but I do think that if he asks for too much, it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. But he did well for them. He did well for them.
Surprisingly. I mean, he's yeah. the perennial favorite for Shaq and a Fool.
I think that's all over now. I think Shaq is going to lay off of him now that he's a champion. I think he said that he would once he won a ring, if I'm not mistaken. But
well, he's done it.
Yeah. Speaking of rings, Kyle Korver re-signed with Cleveland. 3 years, $7.3 million.
Well, that settles it. They're favorites now.
Oh, absolutely. And Jose Calderon for the vet minimum. I forgot that he was in the league, to be completely honest.
Yeah, he's basically washed. He's probably almost as good as, oh my goodness, why am I forgetting? Deron Williams, who we have not heard any news as to whether or not he's coming back or not.
He might just retire.
I mean, he might.
He showed his age for sure. I mean, he had some good flashes in the playoffs.
But he looked pretty bad.
Yeah. Patty Mills re-signed with San Antonio. This is a great signing. 4 years at $12.5 million.
Yeah, he definitely took a discount. He could have got more.
No, for sure. But it's when players take these crazy discounted contracts, it's obvious they really love the team and really like what they're doing.
Well, it's not like the Spurs have a legendary team mentality or anything.
No, they don't. They're a borderline playoff team.
Terrible. Speaking of,
there you go. I'm glad we were on the same wavelength there. PJ Tucker to Houston. This is another team that's just like on this crazy come up all of a sudden. I mean, obviously Houston played very, very well last year, and they were a runner up in the Western Conference Finals. But some of these signings, man. Yeah, PJ Tucker to Houston for 4 years. $8 million per, and Nene, that was a weird situation because, kind of long story short, I'm sure most of you guys know, they like signed him past his 38th year of age, which you can't do.
Well, you can, but it will take all the money and knock it down to whatever the max you can earn is the max you were going to get for a 3-year deal. So it'll just spread that.
Okay. Yeah, so they had to, so he was signed, then he wasn't. Then they had to re-sign him.
He was pissed.
Yeah, because he had to take a pretty significant discount after
that. He lost about $4 million.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the league forever. I don't know if $4 million makes a huge difference to him. But then again, what do I know about being a millionaire?
Yeah.
Jake, another team on the come up. And, you got to like what the 76ers are doing. We already touched on Amir Johnson. JJ Redick, who was a solid player for the Clippers.
$23 million for 1 year.
That's a lot of money for JJ Redick for 1 year.
He wouldn't have gotten it anywhere besides maybe Brooklyn or Sacramento. And of the three, that's the team I would have picked also.
Yeah. But what do you think? 76ers, Amir Johnson.
Markelle Fultz, don't forget.
Markelle Fultz. I think they're finals bound, man.
Yeah, Luau Cabarro. Definitely, at minimum Eastern Conference Finals. Okay, I'm kidding, but still. They're going to make the playoffs. They're a 42-win team in a conference that is, well, very gentle this year.
Yeah. I'm like, honestly, at this rate, it wouldn't surprise me if Brooklyn snuck in as the eighth seed.
If they get Otto Porter, put me down as a person who thinks it's possible. I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but definitely possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at all the teams that are definitely not making it this year. Chicago, Indiana, who else is in the Eastern Conference? It's like so bad, I don't even remember who's in the conference.
Kind of forgettable. Orlando,
you know, like these teams are going to... And it sucks because that Brooklyn pick, that's why I really hope that Otto Porter or that Washington doesn't match the offer sheet. But we'll see. But yeah, the 76ers, you got to like what they're doing. But all of their successes are based on whether or not they're very, very, I like to call them the all-glass team, whether or not they can stay healthy.
I've been calling them the Philadelphia knee injuries. I think it works well with the Sacramento leverages, as Nate Duncan likes to call them.
Oh, no. But yeah, if they can stay healthy, you never know. Maybe. Markelle Fultz did look pretty good in his first summer league game, but so did Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We'll get to that in a hot second.
Yeah, for sure.
There were some other free agency moves that don't directly impact Boston too much. Oklahoma City did impact Boston's hopes when they picked up Paul George, shocking pretty much everybody and pairing him with Russ. They managed to get Patrick Patterson on a super cheap deal, $5.5 million over 3 years. That's per year, $5.5 million per year, and roughly, which seems to me that they may be trying to unload Cantor.
Why would they try to do that?
Well, Cantor is useless on defense, and Patterson is actually pretty solid, so they might be able to get somebody who can actually help them more than Enes Kanter can, at least on the defensive end of the court, so he's playable in crunch time.
Yeah.
Kind of important with the kind of money he makes.
Yeah, for sure. I always call him DeLilo.
Let's call him Delani. Why not?
Delani Gallinani. Danilo Gallinari signed with the Clippers. I'll give this 10, maybe 15 seconds, and then we'll talk about all this other free agent stuff. The Clippers are confusing the hell out of me because they might make the playoffs as an 8th seed, maybe 7th seed, because losing Chris Paul is a big deal. But they're still making all of these moves for like sort of big name players. So I don't know what the hell they're doing. I figured that they should have just tried to maybe sneak into the lottery, but what do I know?
They are trying to keep interest high because they are, as far as I'm aware, moving into a new stadium in England.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So they are trying to keep people's interest while also sucking enough to get some draft picks. That's my assumption anyway. So you can say, hey, look, we have something exciting to see. We have this guy for 3 years, and we still have Blake. Come check it out. And, you know, they'll probably just miss the playoffs and get a lottery pick. So,
but, yeah, the DeLilo Gallinani signed with the Clippers. It's a three-team deal, which is super complicated. But, yeah, Clippers got DeLilo. Denver got, I think, a second-round draft pick and something else. I'm forgetting the exact terms of the deal, but basically the biggest piece to move was DeNilo.
Well, it also
big pickup.
It sent Crawford.
Oh, yeah, Jordan Crawford to Atlanta.
Yep. Which is good for them because they still need to put butts in seats, and he's got some name recognition. But they are also clearly trying to do at least a pivot, if not a teardown. Besides
Kyle Lowry. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I wanted to move on, but go ahead.
Besides that, Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka are returning Toronto on $33 million per year for Lowry and 21.6 roughly for 3 years also for Ibaka. So they're going to be a playoff team. I think they will be a little bit weaker. They didn't, you know, retain PJ Tucker. And, you know, I don't really see too much growth possibilities given Lowry's age, given Ibaka's assumed age. Jokes aside, we don't really know how old he is. So
yeah, I had never heard of
he's probably well through his prime, regardless of whether we're taking him at face value or not. I will, but even at his stated age, he's getting up there in years. And really the only person on that team who is not already in the thick of their prime is Valanciunas, who has, you know, a competent game, but it's kind of overpaid based on the kind of production the league needs from a five now.
Yeah, for sure.
Millsap to Denver.
I like it.
$30 million.
I like it.
3 years. Most he was going to get from anybody. I mean, from what I heard, the Hawks didn't even tender an offer.
Yeah, that's a lot for him, but he's still a good player. Very, very solid. He can put up.
I like it when you're mad at him, and by then, you know, Jokic, however you say that guy's name.
Geokic.
That guy will be in full swing of his prime and can pick up the slack, so no big deal.
Yeah. We got another team on the come up in Minnesota.
Yep. The Minnesota Timberwolves.
There you go. Yeah, they picked up Jeff Teague, 3 years, $19 million per, and Taj Gibson, 2 years, $14 per. I like it. I like Taj Gibson. I thought he was a guy we should have gone after, but we didn't, obviously.
So what do you think, now that they have Butler with these guys and the core that they had to start with,
yeah,
in the West, where would you rank mm-hmm. them in terms of your projected playoff?
Six.
Six seed? That's about where I am, fifth.
Yeah, six. I have to look at the conference again, but it's Golden State. I'm going to put Houston in front of San Antonio. San Antonio.
I think San Antonio is still better, but we'll see. There's still moves to be made.
Definitely not. San Antonio has done nothing.
Yeah, but
Houston has gotten significantly better.
They've got Kawhi and Popovich.
Yeah, but those are just two guys.
Just two guys.
Those two regular old guys. They aren't the Monstars, are they?
They're pretty close. That's close you're going to get two guys in the league.
No, I think Houston is better than San Antonio at this point. Unless San Antonio does something, but I know that they're also strapped.
I expect them to move LaMarcus somehow and from a stone because they always do.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and then I don't know who's after. So yes, Golden State. I don't know who's fourth. Maybe Minnesota.
Could be. I mean, it wouldn't shock me.
No, I guess we'll see. The long season. 82 games.
That's what I hear.
Tony Snell to Minnesota, Minneapolis. Not Minneapolis. Oh my God.
Milwaukee.
All these mills.
Yeah. He had him over a barrel. They can't replace the shooting. He's a very competent shooter, and $11.5 million is probably a little bit more than he deserves, but good signing. Keeps him in the mix.
Yep. We got Collison going to the Pacers, 2 years, $10 million. I don't know why they're signing anybody. They should have just trotted whatever they have left out there and just tank.
Yeah, but I mean, they have such a great general manager making such wise decisions for them. So,
GM of the year next year, I'm calling it now.
It was quite pleasant to listen to some non-Celtics biased podcasts last week and just hear all of them ridiculing the front office. But I digress.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how that works out.
Going back to the
Feliciano was...
Yep.
Yeah.
Cristiano Feliciano returning, going to be a mediocre player on a mediocre team doing mediocre things with a mediocre management. Speaking of mediocre, Langston Galloway to Detroit, 3 years, $7 million per. What do you make of that?
Detroit is also very confusing. But they are really strapped for cash, so I get it. They can't really do much of anything. But who knows what their long-term plan is, because I have no idea.
Well, the rest of the moves are pretty boring. Jody Meeks to the Wizards, 2 years, $3.5 million per. Ben McLemore. I'm not sure how you say it.
McLemore.
I hate saying McLemore just because it's the same name as that wonderful rapper. Anyway.
Oh, he's best of all time, don't you think?
No. Anyway, he's making $5.35 million for a 2 year deal. For the Grizzlies, it could work out there. They could use some help in the guard department. They don't have a lot of depth. Justin Holiday, brother of Giroux to Chicago, which kind of surprised me. He's helping shore up their guard rotation. I thought he would have been a better fit with New Orleans with his brother, but that didn't happen. Mike Scott went from being a potential convicted felon to getting a cool $1,700,000 from Atlanta to shore up their rotation. Rumors of Rajon Rondo to the Lakers. What do you think of that?
I love Rondo. I want him back in Boston, to be completely honest. I know people are going to hate me for saying that, but you put Rondo on a playoff team.
Could have some fun with it.
He can obviously still get it done. The problem is when you put Rondo on a team that's not in the playoffs or not playoff bound. Then his nasty attitude comes up. But you put him in Boston. Obviously, it's not going to happen, but you put him in Boston or any other winning team, Houston, whatever. I don't care. You're going to get a player that's very, very, very capable. So if he's going to LA, I don't think it's going to work very well. I think it's going to be Dallas all over again.
Yeah.
We'll see. So I, for his sake, I hope not. I don't like the whole him mentoring Lonzo Ball narrative. Just put him on a winning team. He deserves it for sure, especially after having the series he had against Boston.
Chris Bosh
in the playoffs.
Officially waived.
Yep. Sad situation. But I'm glad he's not playing for sure, because you never know what can happen. You don't want to risk anything.
Have another Reggie Lewis kind of a situation.
Yeah, you got to look out for yourself, man. The money is nice, but
life is nicer. Can't spend it when you're dead.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, so we'll see. Who knows? Maybe he'll. I don't know. I don't know what his doctors are telling him. I don't know if it's he can't play basketball ever again kind of situation, or what exactly it is.
Maybe the intensity of training and pro basketball. I think he can play pickup basketball again. It's just you want to avoid really intense physical activity once you have a history of blood clots, because you can dislodge one and have an embolism pretty much any.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. So let's hope he just decides to just formally retire.
Yeah.
For his sake.
Any thoughts on who's left out there for free agents?
Let's see. I'm surprised that Dallas hasn't locked down Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, I'm hearing rumbles that there's some interest around the league for him. Blanta.
I mean, of course. He's an interesting player for sure, and he's still so young.
Rudy Gay is reportedly drawing interest from Oklahoma City, but they don't have the kind of money that he wants to join them. The Heat seem to be pretty into signing him, which makes sense. You know, they've signed UConn players in the past. Shabazz Napier and Caron Butler. I could definitely see the UConn pipeline continuing there. Pau Gasol is still unsigned. I would love for him to take the biannual exception or the mid-level and join Boston, but I kind of feel that $3 million ain't going to cut it for him.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He ain't coming to Boston for $3 million a year.
Yeah, Jamichael Green is still out there as a restricted. I have to imagine that Memphis is going to match, though, because what are they going to do if he leaves?
I have no idea. But his name did come up a lot for a potential target for Boston.
I think that.
And I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, his game isn't, you know, knock you on the floor amazing or anything like that, but he can shoot the ball, he can rebound, he can play defense all fairly well. And he's young, he's only 27 years old, so he could have been a candidate as a backup option.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, depth is a great thing.
So anybody you can think of who might be a potential target for Boston, who are, you know, potential trade targets, buyout targets, anything like that?
It pains me. This is going to hurt my throat to say. Melo?
I guess if he got a buyout and was willing to play for vet minimum, but
he's not doing that, though. That's the problem.
I mean, if he does, it's going to be to go play with Banana Boat Buddies, either with the Cavs or with Houston, in my opinion.
I think it makes more sense for him to go to Houston.
Speaking of UConn players, Emeka Okafor was talking about making a return. And money wasn't an issue. Guy could rebound when he was in game shape. He's got time to get into game shape.
No, absolutely. There's some time before October. What is it? October, mid-October.
Couple of you.
We got some summer league stuff to touch on briefly.
Absolutely.
Summer league is very exciting for me. I love summer league because, you know, the finals were, what, second week in June. And not even a month later, and we've got some more basketball. It's meaningless, but actually, it's actually very meaningful.
I disagree. We have clearly vindicated the Markelle Fultz trade with the Jason Tatum last-second dagger that gave us the win, 89-88.
Yeah, that was nice. And that dunk, man, he looked nice out there.
There's some flaws, really, but for rookie, no complaints.
Well, speaking of flaws, I mean, Jaylen Brown looked like a 10-year vet out there.
That's what I was saying. If you remember, I don't think he should be playing because, let's be honest, the only thing he's improving playing against these guys is his confidence level.
Yeah. He is kind of funny with his turnovers, though. Sometimes he gets a little wacky with the ball.
Well, you know, he's playing with passion, kind of like a lesser, slightly more controlled version of another Celtics athletic, hyper-competitive young lad.
And two guys I want to touch on. Abdel Nader, or Abdul Nader is apparently the actual pronunciation of his name.
I will remember that.
Abdul.
Don't be a Nader.
Looked really good. He looked really good, and I like him. I'm really pulling for him. I want him to be on the team. I don't know how they would finesse it, but I think he maybe can be one of those two-way contracts.
I think so. I think he's earned it.
For sure. I like him. I really do. Zizic looked a little lost out there at times.
I expected that.
A little bit.
People need to realize he will be good for 10-ish minutes a game. He's going to slide into the Jonas Jerebko role while he learns NBA defenses and just gets acclimated to the speed of the game.
And one more guy. Oh, well, Semi Ojeleye. I didn't really see too much out of him.
I thought his defense was great. His defense was fantastic, and that will give him some minutes. He will probably make the roster also. He might have to, depending on how things shake out, be one of the other primary candidate for a two-way contract. But he could, conceivably, if he is okay with taking the rookie minimum, make it onto the team with the cap situation being what it is. I do think that, though, like in this particular situation, he is going to be kind of the new James Young, where he will get some spot minutes, but be spending almost all of his season, barring an injury to somebody higher up in the rotation in Maine.
I hope not. You see all these rookies and you're like, man, just put him out there for 10, 20 minutes, or let's not even say 20 minutes, 10, 15 minutes to see what they can do. Give them an opportunity. Just don't glue them to the bench like you did with James Young.
Yeah.
Because then they can actually develop. But with the way that Boston is looking this season, I feel like, there may not be time to develop too much of these players outside of Tatum, Brown's continued development, and maybe Zizic.
Zizic will get plenty of time. We don't really have any traditional big man options at the moment. So barring Okafor, Emeka Okafor surprise signing or something of that nature, it's pretty slim pickings that we are actually going to find anybody on the roster who will be able to mop up those minutes, particularly when facing second units, still sporting, kind of an old school back to the basket big.
Yeah, for sure. That's actually a good point. We'll see what happens, but I think for sure what somebody likes is just time on the court against NBA caliber talent is going to do it for him.
Well, they will be playing the Spurs tonight recording this. And the Spurs were actually the summer league team that won it all last season, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Boston was close.
Right there. But, a couple of buckets away from winning it.
Yeah. But San Antonio did take it, which is nice. I think it's a huge confidence boost.
Oh, absolutely.
For these players. Even if they don't end up a rotation player in the NBA and they stay in the G League, I hate that so much. That's so stupid. It has to be a huge confidence boost. And I think they make a little money if they win the championship too.
I actually haven't heard anything about that, but if so, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think they do.
Well, I think we have actually made it to the end of the topics that we had. Anything else you want to add before we take off and let these people go?
No, I think we covered everything. I'm honestly, I have to say, and I'm sure people agree with this, that I'm more excited about Jason Tatum than I am Gordon Hayward.
I'm excited about all of it. I can't compartmentalize it. I'm really into the whole synergistic, like the fact that, let me just back up a little bit. A little over a year before we drafted Jaylen Brown, I came up with this crazy idea based on how the league seemed to be trending and thought it might be an interesting idea for Boston to get the draft rights for as many wings slash small forwards as you possibly could. And I swear, if you look at the summer league roster, it's like what? Like two centers and one guard and no, two guards. And basically everybody else is a wing or basically a wing. I think there's something to that. Okay. I'm really, really interested in seeing what lineup we end up with after all these moves, because we are still very heavily wing oriented in the regular season roster as it currently stands as well. So the rest of the summer, the rest of free agency is going to be about the moves that will get us to maximum cap space for Mr. Hayward, and then for filling out the roster so we have someone that can play competitive basketball. And like, I'm as excited about that, as absurd as it might sound, as I am about Gordon Hayward, as I am about Jason Tatum, as I am about Jaylen Brown. I can't help myself. I'm super, super happy. Dare I say,
yeah. I think there's going to come a time in the league in the not too distant future where it'll be surprising to see a guy on the court that's 6'11".
Yeah, I think we're trending that way already.
Yeah, that your ideal player will be between 6'2 and 6'6 and just be able to defend multiple positions and just shoot well. The days of the big man, it's people say it all the time, but it's obvious that it's trending in that direction. So yeah, just come back in a few years and you'll be calling a guy that's 6'9" your big man.
I think so. I'm not even kidding.
No, yeah, for sure. Like I see it. I see it happening. Look, the tallest guy. Yeah, well,
now is Zizic at 6'11".
But yeah, Zizic is 6'11", which obviously is tall. That's very tall. But traditionally speaking, it's not that tall.
There's been plenty of guys out there 7'1", 7'2". There's a couple of guys in the league right now who are 7'3", 7'4".
Yeah, exactly. That guy that Houston just signed, 7'4" guy. Yeah, like that's tall. But when you're that tall, yeah, I think historically they haven't been very durable because of that.
I mean, and you're seeing more and more instances like who's the guy from this year? Another guy came down with Marfan. I can't say that out loud because I don't usually, but yeah. The syndrome that got the guy from, I think it was Oregon, wasn't it? A couple of years ago. Anyway, you should check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com, as we regularly instruct you to do, because it's a good thing to do. Helps us out, helps you out, if you want to hear this anyway. We have a big variety of shirts, hoodies. We'll be having more designs in soon to commemorate the new additions coming into the Boston Celtics. And come fall, you'll even be able to get tickets for the next game under that particular heading. You can find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and just about any podcatcher app you have out there. Just look for us on that. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, please rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or you want us to consider a suggestion, just let us know with a comment on any Celtics Life article. It'll get back to us one way or another. Or you can use the hashtag CLPOD, CLPOD, on Twitter. Always trying to bring you the coverage the way you want it, the way that you like it. So let us know. That's all.
Let us know for sure. Please, please, and thank you.
Take care, y'all.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.